Hello and welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Cole. Among the most pronounced consumer effects of the COVID-19 pandemic was the enormous shift in consumer expectations for immediacy in digital experiences. The contrast between expectation and delivery is particularly sharp at the intersection of banking and payments, where legacy systems can take days to transfer funds. Instant payment systems have been largely inaccessible to the thousands of credit unions who facilitate banking and payments to hundreds of millions of Americans. However, the recent launch of the Federal Reserve's new instant payments rails, FedNow, may hold the key for credit unions to unlocking instant payments. PSCU's Juniper Payments is among the first service providers supporting transaction activities for financial institutions on the FedNow service. Today, we're joined by Juniper Payments CEO, John Budd, as well as Javelin Strategy and Research's own Director of Debit Advisory Services, Elisa Tavila. Together, we discuss FedNow's impact, timetables, opportunities, and recommendations for credit unions looking to adopt instant payments. So, John, what's the impact of the recent launch of the Federal Reserve's new instant payments rails, FedNow, and how's that going to impact the U.S. payments landscape?
Well, I'll start with the day one impact. Pretty small. I bet no one felt it on the Richter scale. A lot of headlines. Exciting. There's a new rail coming out. Haven't seen a whole lot of news about it recently besides the follow-ups with fintechs and financial institutions talking about plans on adoption and the evolution of this. Now, I think, so that's, you know, kind of day one. It's going to be a slow roll, a snowball that's going to build inertia over time because there's certainly a need for immediacy and transparency in payments, which FedNow introduces, and also, you know, the clearinghouse RTP payments rail as well. And I think this is kind of a top-down initiative, meaning, you know, the Federal Reserve launched it, and then now the next steps are for 10,000 financial institutions to upgrade infrastructure and look at different alternatives and the best path forward to embrace this technology and offer it to their consumers and businesses. So it's going to take some time to get it to market because it's not flipping a switch. There's some infrastructure behind it where it's really taking, and maybe this is kind of the meat of it, but it's really taking a Federal Reserve banking system less from batch, more to immediate real-time messaging and payments versus on a schedule throughout the day and then opening that up to 24/7. So it's going to have significant impacts, I think, on businesses and things like that and in the future on operating hours. And I've got kind of an analogy on that, but I think we'll pause there for a second. But I think it came and gone, and now we have years to build it, which we're all in together to build it. And Lisa and I, we chatted a little bit earlier. It's not by mandate. Banks and credit unions don't have to do this. This is an optional service. Ultimately, in the long run, if they're going to do it, it's just when can you meet an ROI on spending the money, and when do you know consumers and the folks and businesses that you serve are going to utilize the service?
Elisa, any quick thoughts on the FedNow rollout and its impact on the U.S. payments landscape?
Thanks, Ryan. I agree with John that the adoption and implementation across financial institutions will likely take time. As John noted, it isn't quite as simple as flipping on a switch. But overall, I think the launch of FedNow has a positive impact on instant payments or real-time payments adoption across the U.S. It provides an alternative option for more financial institutions of all sizes to adopt instant payments and helps accelerate real-time payments growth across the country. I know many credit unions, as well as regional and community banks, have more trust and prefer to participate in FedNow because it's operated and was developed by the Federal Reserve as opposed to RTP, which is a private system that's operated by some of their larger bank competitors. And certainly some financial institutions might choose to participate in both FedNow and RTP, but overall it is definitely a positive development because it gives options for financial institutions to choose from, and it also offers resiliency for instant payments overall.
Mm-hmm. John, I want to zero in on one element of Elisa's question there, which is around the impact specifically for regional and or credit union audience. To use a word that maybe Elisa didn't specifically, is that there might be more trust with a federal government solution versus an alternative like RTP. But just generally curious about your perspective as it pertains for credit union participation.
I'm trying to think in my mind how credit unions might be looking at it differently than the community banks. And really, one thing that stands out is credit unions obviously more natural person geared to serving individuals versus small businesses. I think there's a real opportunity as a result of this kind of new rail and disruptive technology that I also believe there's some low-hanging fruit for businesses to capitalize on it and benefit it from it, maybe even, you know, sooner because they have existing use cases than consumers. Meaning, I think there's an opportunity right now for credit unions to leverage this technology as they work to get into small business, the small business space, whether it's offering payroll services, on-demand payroll services, tools for small businesses to pay vendors and receive money from vendors. It's been a space that that credit unions, and there's also some rules around, you know, what they can lend to small businesses and things like that. But there's plenty of room for credit unions to grow in that space. And I think specifically the new introduction of instant payments is an opportunity to start spreading their wings into that space more.
Just to add on to what John mentioned, that certainly FedNow and innovation around instant payments allow credit unions to offer services and new products to small businesses. For example, I think other innovations around real-time payments will allow credit unions to remain competitive, find new revenue streams, and also attract new customers. According to a Federal Reserve study, or actually several studies for pertaining to both consumers and businesses, over 70% of consumers as well as businesses look to their primary financial institution, which certainly includes credit unions, to offer faster payment, including real-time and instant payments. So I think this is a great opportunity for credit unions to participate and innovate upon real-time payment.
Awesome. John, a little bit of a two-part question here, but I'd be curious if you could dive further into some of the use cases for instant payments and how they're going to impact user experience. And then if we can also kind of articulate some of the benefits for credit unions and their members, but what benefits instant payments are going to confer to those organizations and individuals. But care to talk to us a little bit about use cases?
Sure. And I've got a personal one I could use that floats to the top. But in the general theme, what we're talking about here is, in, you know, when we mention immediacy and transparency, you know, if I pull up my online banking app, I can see what is credit in my account and what might be pending. Or you might see memo posts and consumers are like, well, is this, can I spend this money or not? Is it in my account? It comes down to a term called good funds. What instant payments does is once that payment is received by the beneficiary, it's good funds and they can go to an ATM or their credit union, withdraw it immediately and spend it how they wish. And a perfect example of that, about 2 weeks ago, I purchased a vehicle online through a private seller. And it happened to be about 1,500 miles from where I am. I'm in Kansas, and I flew out to Reno, Nevada to look at it and to see, okay, if it all adds up and then the pictures match, I'm going to drive it home. And I asked the seller, would you prefer a wire or cashier's check? Because we had a predetermined price. He says, well, I'd prefer a cashier's check. I probably would have done a wire myself, but he preferred the cashier's check. And the only reason why, you know, a wire is basically as soon as it lands in his account, it's final and irrevocable, similar to a cashier's check. But a cashier's check is also something that's a little bit easier maybe to reproduce, or there's a little bit more fraud potentially around that aspect. But in this case, he did the right things. I gave him the check. He looked online, Googled the bank to find the phone number so he could call the bank, which, by the way, is a small community bank in Kansas that I've had an account at since I was like 8 years old. And I've never waited more than about three rings for someone to pick up. But on this particular day, it's going to the main channel, it goes to the switch, and then it's getting dropped. And it was about a 20-minute process. And he's doing the right thing to verify to the best of his ability that this bank exists, that I'm a true account holder there, and that I initiated cashier's check. And ironically, I knew people at the bank that I was texting. I was saying, why aren't you guys answering the phone? But I didn't want to let them know that, because then I would be steering them like I've set up this whole process. And they said, unfortunately, we're going through our whole phone conversion to Teams right now, and it's not working well. And I'm like, well, 40 years, this is the worst timing, though. Anyway, they finally get through. But like in that particular case, you know, what the seller of a product, so they're going to hand me keys and I'm going to hand a, you know, cashier's check or some type of form of payment. And that's final and irrevocable. I'm driving off and that person is counting on that money to be in their account. And if and when down the road, that person's FI is part of FedNow in this case, and mine is as well. And I could go, for example, to my app and initiate this transaction. And I would see that his RT is enabled as a FedNow institution and send those funds. And as soon as he refreshed his account information on his mobile app, he would see that funds have been deposited. Maybe that whole process took 60 seconds. And that's a game changer right there. And it's, there's less friction. And, you know, that particular process. Now, that's not a transaction that I'm going to do every day. But anytime there's a case where you would be using a wire, a cashier's check is a perfect example for an instant payment, because it's going to be quicker and I think even a higher degree of transparency that the funds are there. So that's one particular use case that comes to mind that consumers can really take advantage of.
Elisa, thoughts on use cases that you anticipate for instant payments, some of the benefits that credit unions and members are going to receive?
Sure. As John mentioned, well, in John's personal example where he's buying a car from another individual, but certainly the auto industry buying cars, that's a great example of use case. As John mentioned earlier, with ACH, the transactions are batched and often processed during business hours. So with car sales, for example, consumers typically shop for cars in the evenings after work or on the weekends, and those are non-business hours. So often there's a delay in transferring the money. And similar to John's example, this certainly would come in handy, meaning real-time payments. John and I were talking earlier also about using instant payments to fund and defund mobile wallets like Venmo or Cash App. Those are certainly popular or getting even more popular amongst consumers. So it's a convenient and efficient way to move funds. Disbursements are also big opportunity, especially loan disbursements, whether it's car loans or mortgages. A lot of credit union and smaller financial institution customers often go to their credit unions because of the personalized relationships they have and the better rates that these financial institutions offer. So those are just a few examples that instant payments can benefit consumers and certainly small businesses as well. Many of these financial institutions serve businesses in their communities, so it can help streamline their billing, improve transparency, help them better manage their cash position, for example.
Yeah, absolutely, John. I love the example from your personal life. It reminds me that like kind of any product, but certainly payments products can all ultimately be judged by cost, speed, and quality. And, you know, you'd call it out immediacy and transparency. And immediacy is obviously speed. Transparency is a form of quality. And, you know, you'd mentioned about how the gentleman giving you your car had to take a physical object and look it up online. With FedNow, it would be a much more automated process where it's just like, is this bank part of the network? Yes or no? And off you're gone. And then, of course, final transaction status adds to that that immediacy. So anyway, I thought that was a great example. Definitely interested in seeing the impact on mobile wallets, to Elisa's point, as well as disbursement payments. We talked about payroll briefly earlier. So we've got like all these new opportunities coming at us in the world of real-time and instant payments. I'd be curious, John, from your perspective and also Elisa, what types of misconceptions are out there? Because in my, one of the things I find funny is whenever my work life intersects with my, for instance, like my personal Twitter account, which doesn't have that much to do with payments, but FedNow landed. And I remember being kind of shocked that people were saying, you know, this is a gateway to CBDCs and central bank takeover. And it was one of the few moments where I was like, oh my goodness, like I'm expert enough to shoot down these. If that's hitting me, I'm curious though, John, have you noticed misconceptions? And if so, what do they tend to be?
You nailed it. In fact, I've been doing this a little bit longer than 20 years now. And this is probably the only time that I've had friends be like, dude, what's up with this FedNow fake? Like, when have you ever cared what I do in this correspondent banking space we're up to? When I, as soon as I start talking about what we do, you're already trailing off. You don't care. Sounds boring. But this one has attention because, yeah, the way it was spun and chat rooms are perceived, and maybe there should have been maybe a little better message top down. I don't know. But it's taken on a life of its own, as this is the opportunity for Big Brother, the government, to come in, and we're going to, you know, get rid of paper currency. And this is the first step to digital currency. And we're going to be able to track everything by utilizing this. Well, you know, one of the first questions I'll ask a friend or family member that might even bring this up would be, when do you get paid? Well, every other Friday. How long have you been getting paid like that way? Oh, 20 years. And how is that money deposited in your account? I don't know. I think it's called an ACH or something. It just appears there and there's a credit. Like, yeah, we've been operating off digital currencies for decades. And it's not that the Federal Reserve holds enough gold to back everything necessarily. This is a good faith trust system that runs this economy. And FedNow is simply just another avenue. I kind of call it a toll road to do things quicker than some of the alternatives out there. So it's turning over to Lisa here. I think she maybe has heard some of the same things with friends and peers in the market, not necessarily in the peers in this space, but I think there's a, you know, especially folks with a lot of time on their hands that maybe have a certain bias, want to steer this in a particular direction. So there's a lot of misinformation out there about what this product would do. And it, I don't think it's any more overreaching, or there's no necessarily more data that the Federal Reserve could look at as compared to what they've been looking at before. But that's certainly not the intention, particularly when we're thinking about, you know, gig workers and people that might need to be paid on demand on a daily basis. Those grassroots jobs and that level, I think this is a huge benefit to those individuals, which I think are also some of the ones in the chat rooms. So,
Elisa, from your perspective, what are some of the bigger misconceptions that are out there?
Sure. I actually have a number of them. I don't think I mentioned earlier. So prior to joining Javelin, I actually worked on FedNow for 3 years before joining Javelin in June. So you can just imagine all the questions and strange reactions that I gotten from friends. Similar to John, most of my family and friends don't really know or often care what I do for work. So I was really surprised when I was hearing things like people being terrified by FedNow. I think John helped clear up several of the misconceptions. I'd say another one that was common is people often using FedNow as a verb, like I'm going to FedNow you, just like I'm going to Venmo you, which you wouldn't be able to do because the Federal Reserve does not provide services to consumers. FedNow is a behind the scenes rail, similar to ACH. We don't say I'm going to ACH you today. And I was thinking about this, the evolution of other technologies and how it might help people understand or that are more relatable, like HDTV, everything's in HD now. So remember how we used to have like standard definition? So that would be like ACH. And now this is like a faster, crisper, modernized, updated version of payments. Or I think like dial up. And now we all have high speed internet and take it for granted, or even remember once upon a time, I'm probably dating myself, but we had cassette players and cassettes when there were singles where you thought it was great. I can buy like one song and not have to buy the entire album. And then CDs came along. You can actually skip and pick the songs you want without having to fast forward and rewind it. But now you can just download and pick and buy or stream whatever song you want. So it's just one day we'll be able to receive our payments instantly too, and, you know, not have to even fathom waiting days to get our paychecks and other payments.
That's awesome. I love the examples, and I hadn't thought about describing FedNow as a simple upgrade. It's a technology upgrade. I think that makes perfect sense. Sort of lets some of the air out of the anxiety balloon. Even from my perspective, it seemed that some folks were looking to cast dispersions, and I'm not sure there was any way around that. John and Lisa, thank you so much for your thoughts today on FedNow, on instant payments, on the impact in the payments landscape, what it's going to mean for credit unions, user experience, specific use cases, and some of the misconceptions. Thank you so much for your time today.